Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Metro Raleigh Business Radio, where business leaders in Raleigh come to tell their stories.
Good morning. This is Anne Revelle-Petcher, your host for Metro Raleigh Business Radio, here in Wake Forest with Reed Powell, our producer. Hello, Reed.
Hi, Anne. How are you?
I am fabulous. Isn't this fabulous fall weather?
It's really great.
It is the best. It's so great. I love it. Hey, it's fall, which means we have a lot of really major events going on here in the region. And one of the biggest events coming up in November in the technology community is the newly named North Carolina Technology Awards, which NCTA gives out. You've probably heard about this, right, Reed?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, we have with us in the studio today three companies who are big supporters of this. And so we're going to give them first an opportunity to each speak about their companies and what they do. And then we'll talk a little bit about the awards themselves and NCTA. But first, allow me to introduce Sam Witt, who's with Nexen Pruitt.
Hello, Anne. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing great. You're right. It's the best time of year to be in North Carolina.
It is, indeed. I love it. It's fabulous. Thanks for joining us in the studio.
You bet.
We also have Sid Michener, who's with Vaco Raleigh. He's a managing partner there. Hello, Sid.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Great to have you here. And we also have Dwayne Southern. Hello, Dwayne.
Hello, Anne.
And Matt McCleary.
How's it going, Anne?
Good. These guys are both joining us from Grant Thornton, as we know, a tax accounting office. Boy, you have how many offices now in Grant Thornton across the world?
Across the world, we've probably got 1,300.
Oh my goodness!
In the U.S., we've got 57 offices around the U.S.
Wow, that's fabulous.
Including three in the Carolinas.
Yep. Three. So you're spread across where in North Carolina?
In the Carolinas, we got offices in Raleigh, Charlotte, and Columbia, South Carolina. We've got approximately 400 people in the Carolinas.
Wow. Holy smoke. Wow. Well, good for you. That means business is good, right?
Yeah, we've had a great year, so we're excited.
Well, tell us a little bit more about Grant Thornton. Tell us how you guys work and the kinds of accounting that you do.
Here in the U.S., Grant Thornton LLP is the member firm of Grant Thornton International. Grant Thornton International is one of the world's largest independent tax audit business advisory firms in the world. Grant Thornton serves a number of core industries. Some of those include consumer industrial products, financial services, technology, private equity, not-for-profit. So those are some of the key industries we serve. Serve both public and private companies around the world. So again, a wide variety of companies and industries.
Yeah. So what kind, give us a little bit or better sense of the kind of company who's a good target for Grant Thornton.
A good target is a dynamic company, a company that's looking to raise capital, looking to expand internationally, a company that, again, is looking to enter into new transactions, like the new revenue recognition rules coming up. Looks like our complicated transactions they're having to deal with. Mm-hmm. Those are ones we can help out pretty significantly.
Interesting.
In particular, in the local marketplace, from a revenue standpoint, that can range anywhere from a newly formed startup company to public companies, very mature in their marketplace, looking to do new things, raise capital, and whatnot. So it really is a diverse look and types of companies that we serve.
Right. Interesting. So what roles do you play there, each of you?
I'm an audit partner here in the Raleigh office. I've been in our Carolinas practice for 18 years.
You know that the word audit scares people, don't you?
It's not a scary thing. We're out to help our clients, meet the regulations, but help our clients grow and prosper in the economy. Also head up our technology practice here in the Carolinas. Clearly, technology is one of our key industries, both in the firm and in the Carolinas. So I head up that practice here in the Carolinas.
Oh, that's great.
And clearly, Raleigh's a key area for technology.
So. Super. And Matt?
And I help support Dwayne in that effort. I've been with the firm for a little over 10 years now and focus almost exclusively on technology companies, whether that be software, life sciences, telecom, and other areas within the technology subset.
Where are you seeing most of the movement with your clients today in terms of the biggest growth, the kinds of technology companies you're seeing? Where's growth opportunity?
Well, I think really growth abounds everywhere. Across different industry subsets, we see a lot of M&A activity, whether that be in the life science arena, IPOs and growth stage companies, really across the board in the technology space here in Raleigh. And I think that's a great signal of health for the Raleigh business community.
And that growth's been both in private and public. I mean, as you've seen it here in the Raleigh area, there's been a number of IPOs this year. It ain't gone back to the 10 years ago level, but
not yet, but we're knocking on wood.
This last year has been pretty significant, especially in the life science area, and I think you'll see that same growth this coming year.
And is your life science footprint as big as your technology footprint here? Specifically,
the life science is not quite as big. Clearly, software is a big yeah. presence for us here. But again, we're growing the life science also.
So, how has that grown? Is it in numbers primarily, or in diversity of kinds of companies, or
in both? I think we've had some key significant wins this last year. And again, I think our focus has always been serve our existing clients well, and that's the best way to attract new clients.
Yeah. So you're in audit, both of you, but you are really connected to what's going on in all of the trends. How do you help to share that with clients when probably you see them mostly when you have to go through an audit, right? But how do you, throughout the year, help share some of the trends you're seeing in technology and the accounting end of that?
Sure. First, from a Carolina standpoint, we serve every different industry group and type of need that exists for a company. So all those skills are resident here in the Carolinas. So one of the ways that it's easy for us to do that is we stay connected to our client base and prospects, but we have the people here who can get in front of those companies to tell the story themselves from an expert standpoint or resource standpoint. But certainly it's getting out there and talking to these companies. It's continuing to communicate through webcasts, through other regular communications, whether that be, as Duane mentioned, the new revenue standard that's pervasive across all industries and consolidates essentially all of that guidance into one standard. Certainly it's a very big deal in our world and something that we've talked to virtually all our clients and prospects about at this time, whether that be a life science company or a software company, it's the same standard that impacts them.
And even within the technology industry group within our practice, our individuals kind of specialize within subsegments within there. Like I specialize in software, or Matt specializes in telecom and life science. Because you really got to know the client's business, and that really you got to delve down into the subsegments. So our people really specialize in their industry.
Yeah, it's not just QuickBooks.
Correct.
And one of the differences in our firm and the way we've structured our resources to push down some of those more traditionally quote-unquote national resources into the local offices. So one of the reasons I like to talk about revenue, for example, is that I serve on our national team for the implementation of the new standard. But I'm just one of many in the Carolinas from a national standpoint that have roles to help our clients be resources, but I also have a full load of local clients, obviously, that I serve in a marketplace that I live in and work in and love.
Mm-hmm. You guys have mentioned a few times the world of entrepreneurs here. What kind of challenges are they facing that are different than some of the other challenges you're seeing? Obviously, there's funding, but outside of that.
As you mentioned, clearly the funding, but again, getting the mentors, the support. There's a lot of change in getting the resources to really to help support that growth.
Yeah,
really is the key.
So. And sure, the other thing I'd say is cost. You know, to grow has a cost to it, and quality growth is something that, of course, all companies are concerned with, particularly growth stage companies. And so they're focused on efficiency and ways to comply with regulation in a way that helps them still keep their eye on the ball on what they're trying to do to grow the business.
Yeah, I think North Carolina's had some really interesting things happening across the state in every one of the major centers, especially wherever there's a university. It seems like we have a lot of entrepreneurial support that we didn't have just 5 years ago. I'm wondering if you're seeing a lot of new business opportunities come out of things like places like that.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of opportunities come out of it. I mean, clearly with all the universities we have here in Durham, you got the startup support network there. I mean, this is a great area for CED, NCDA. You got all these organizations helping support that entrepreneurial development. So, and I think that's why you're seeing more and more attracted here. for that support network here.
So. Also, from a growth standpoint, I think it's become more of an imperative for these types of companies to partner with, whether it be other incubators or other organizations, to help accelerate the process of bringing a product to commercialization.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's really interesting. We're going to talk a little bit more about the North Carolina Technology Awards in just a couple minutes. But I was wondering, are organizations like NCEDA, CED you mentioned, and others like that, are they helpful for you in terms of helping you identify new client opportunities? Or how do you find new clients these days?
I mean, clearly, NCEDA, for example, I mean, their mission is to promote the technology industry in North Carolina. And as I mentioned, the technology industry is one of our strategic focus, and so it kind of mirrors up to our strategy. And so that's why we've always been a key supporter of NCEDA. I look back, I guess it's been 10 years we've been the title sponsor for the
right.
North Carolina Tech Awards.
It's almost the Grant Thornton Awards, isn't it?
Right. And one of the key benefits we get is being the title sponsor is we get to look through all the applications that come in, pick the finalists, and present the finalists and the proposed winner for every category to the NCEDA board. So our people actually get excited to go through that because you get to see not only the established companies like the public companies, Red Hat and Cree, mm-hmm. but all the new and upcoming technology companies in the different categories. And so we get to pick the finalists and present to the board. So it gets us to see and understand new companies we might not have been aware of, plus the ones we already knew, and a lot of them are our clients. So it's a great process to go through, and we get a lot of value out of it.
That's great.
So that's one of the benefits we get as part of that process.
That's super. Well, what kind of plans do you have for continued growth in the region? What's your strategy here for technology especially?
I think the build on the success we've had, again, serve our existing clients really well, and then target the key industries where we've had a lot of success. And I think the other thing is just to continue to attract and retain top talent, just like the technology companies. Struggle is to keep and retain key talent. And so I think that's our major focus, and we're doing a lot of initiatives to make sure we do that and have the right industry skill sets mm-hmm. To serve these clients really well. So I think that's our part of our strategy.
That's great. We're going to come back, as I said, and talk with you guys, but I'd like to have an opportunity for you to tell people who are thinking about maybe looking for a new accounting firm, how would they get in touch with you? How would they do? You have, is there a website they would go to, or?
Yeah, I mean, definitely you can go to grantthornton.com, and all our contact information is on there. So
okay, that's probably the easiest way, huh?
Yep, definitely, and you can contact our Raleigh office, both Matt McCleary or Dwayne Southern, and just give us a call from a technology perspective or any industry perspective.
Great, super. All right, we'll be back to chat with you in just a minute. Sid Michener, managing partner at Vaco Raleigh. I have to tell you, it was really fun for me to spend the morning on your website because I didn't want to have you walk in here and have me mispronounce the name of the company.
Right.
And to learn how the company got its name.
It's an interesting one.
It is an interesting one. Do you want to share that with us?
Well, it's Latin root for vacation, to free yourself from your master. And so ultimately, it just the wind and we have the sailboat theme too. So free wind there. So it was a combination of the founders and his wife that came up with that originally.
That's so out of Nashville. That's very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, so your company essentially helps your clients find what you call their most valuable assets.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
That's their people.
Yeah, so it was a nice segue. I mean, finding and retaining talent is our primary focus. So Vaco basically is a recruiting and executive search firm that focuses on accounting and finance and IT, so very similar to the footprint that Grant Thornton has. Mm-hmm. We have been in the market for about 10 years here and have been in business for 12 years overall. We currently have a string of 29 LLCs across the U.S.
Oh, wow.
So, yes.
So everybody works independently.
We do. Just recently announced we've been acquired by a private equity firm. So less
independently than you were before.
Well, we'll see. To be determined.
It's all to be determined.
To be determined. But we are obviously very bullish about the accounting and finance and IT space and continue to grow.
That's great. So how are you different than all the other placement firms that are out there?
Well, one, we believe in relationships first. It's not a transactional business. And so when it comes to this process, we tried to find veterans that come from the accounting and finance or IT world themselves. So they've been practitioners in the space. So most of the people in our accounting and finance groups are CPAs and or were practicing controllers, financial analysts, whatever whatever discipline. In IT, either they are senior veterans from from a recruiting perspective, or they were actually coders, business analysts, project managers in their previous profession.
So
we like to be able to say we've done the job so we can assess the talent the right way.
Yeah, so really knowledge is really critical here.
Exactly.
It's really interesting, you know, today, so we're here to talk in part about the North Carolina Technology Awards, but today is the last day for people to sign up for the job fair that they're doing tomorrow. What kinds of things are you seeing out there? What are the trends you're seeing in hiring in this region?
That's a big question. One that most people are hiring. The one thing that's great about this market, and the guys at Grant have already talked about it, is that it's a very diversified market as far as the industries that are represented here. Mm-hmm. Also, the size of the companies, there's a lot of small companies and big companies present. So it's hard to, you know, really to lock in on just one niche. So the trends that really has changed is that people have to be more dynamic in any role that they do in the accounting and finance, IT, in regards to the communication across whatever lines of business that they're in to the business and to other folks within the companies and also with vendors outside. And so I think the burden has fallen on folks to become much more aggressive in their search for jobs in regards to making sure that they're not just sending a resume over the internet and hoping to get an interview. They have to get out there and meet people through nonprofits, job fairs, whatever it might be out there available.
I think that sending a resume thing is really difficult because there are just so many hoops you have to jump through. Before you can even know if you're going to be a good fit for a job, it's really hard because you have to fill out all these forms and you have to jump through all these hoops, and it's even you get a little bit of a job description. But I think that's one of the nice things about working with someone like Aveco, who can really sort of help cut through that. Now, you work closely with the people who are actually searching for jobs as well, don't you?
Correct.
So it's not just about the client.
Correct.
You maintain an ongoing relationship with people throughout their careers.
Yes.
And that makes it a whole lot easier when it's time to find that new job.
Ideally. It's an easy concept, but very tough to execute. That is for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. No doubt. You know, in preparation for the job fair tomorrow, I've been reading a lot about a lot of different stories about what to do when you're looking for a job. You have any tips and tricks that you can share?
Well, the easiest one's to know where you're sending your resume as far as profiling the company, understanding their culture and what they look for, and understanding the technical job descriptions. But it's what I just talked about previous. It's being very aggressive, contacting people through whatever means possible, LinkedIn, through nonprofits, through meetup groups, through technical groups like on the accounting and finance or on the IT side. So as much as you can know from a relationship side of things about the job and, you know, the hard facts that are present is what you have to do.
Yeah. I have, as you said, a lot of jobs open in the region. And I think we're seeing that throughout North Carolina in a way that we haven't for a very long time. And they're complex jobs, as you've identified. They're not very simple. You're just going to be doing cookbooks, for example. I'm just curious what you're seeing and what kind of challenges you're seeing us as a region face in attracting people, because we're going to have to, we've got great talent that we're brewing in our own universities, but we're going to have to attract talent from outside the region. What are the challenges that we're seeing, our companies are seeing in getting that done?
Well, I'd say first from a hard factual side of things is we need some better international services through the airport as far as flights.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
There's a lot of global companies represented that need that. We need one to Paris, to London, something a little bit more frequently. Then outside that, it's a little bit of a branding. It's a branding of Raleigh, Durham proper versus Austin or San Francisco. As far as most people do not know what's present here from an industry perspective and a talent. We have the three universities. We have a smart workforce, but we still get lumped into the Andy Griffin kind of Mayberry kind of scenario from time to time. And we have
maybe
to fight
we need
that.
A new TV show, right?
That's right. we have to fight that, though, when it comes to the recruiting of especially corporate headquarters, which we need more of here. We have a lot of regional locations, which is great, but the headquarters would bring the executives and the other infrastructure that would help us all do more business, I think. So,
So outside of telling those companies that we have obviously gorgeous Octobers and we have a really well-educated workforce, what else would you tell them if we had an opportunity, oh, I don't know, to have a mic in front of us, for example, to tell other companies
here? I mean, it's pro-business market. I mean, the support is unbelievable. I moved from Atlanta 10 years ago, or I guess now 12 years ago, and there's a healthy vibe and there's a support to grow the business across Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill. And quite honestly, I like the fight between Durham and Raleigh when it comes to the startup community, because I think that's just making it best for everyone in the area. But you know, I think there's so much opportunity. And when it comes to retaining top talent, you know, I've been told by several companies in the area that this is the easiest place to recruit for all sorts of just languages, education, because of the universities and because of the companies that are here. You know, you bring Cisco's and EMC's and NetApp, they bring a global workforce. And so if you need a global workforce, this is a great place to attract one.
That's great. So would you say that our biggest competition is the Bay Area and Austin, maybe Boston?
You know, Nashville's starting to play a picture into that.
They are.
They are.
How are they getting their act together so quickly, do you think?
I think politically and money has finally aligned to a certain extent. And then some of the companies that are participating in the recruiting of other companies to the area. And they also think it's just a little bit of a, once you have some successes, I think they brought Nissan in as a corporate headquarter from California.
Right. That makes
I think two or three years ago. And so, you know, it's a trend. And these once you see a company that's make that decision, other companies are more confident coming in. But no, I think, of course, we're going to lose business to San Francisco, you know, but we're not losing a lot to them. I think we're losing it to Atlanta or Nashville more than anything else for the companies that we're really fighting for.
Interesting. Well, is there one last thing that you can share with us that people maybe on the corporate side need to be thinking about when they're thinking about recruiting?
Know your brand. You know, I think it's difficult for people to recruit because they don't know really how to write a job description or how to run an interview process.
And so, buy that, man.
So I think it's know your brand in the market, be sensitive to that, and then it's something you have to work on constantly. So and you know, internal referral hiring is the best way to build your company. And so it's just making sure you're using your workforce that you have there to help you do your best recruiting.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, we're going to circle back with you in just a minute. But before we do, tell us a little bit about how people can reach you if they need some help with their recruiting.
Basically, contact our local office at vaco.com. It would be the best place to go.
A drop-down link for Raleigh? Or
there is, absolutely.
So it's just vaco.com.
That is right.
Excellent. Great. Yep. We'll come back to you in just a second. Sam Witt is here from Nexen Pruitt. I don't know why I have trouble saying that every time. Nexen Pruitt.
That's right.
It's actually a wonderful name. I assume this is two attorneys who started the company.
Two attorney. Many years ago, this is a South Carolina-based law firm that is relatively new to the Triangle, but it's one of the best-kept secrets, I think, in the Triangle with the legal services. It's a bunch of nice folks doing some really quality work.
That's great. I'm terrible at keeping secrets. Is it okay if we talk about it for a while?
Just a little.
Just a little bit. Okay, cool. So tell us a little bit more about how you got started, the kinds of things you focus on, who your ideal customer is.
Sure. The Nexen Pruitt, as I mentioned, has been around in the Carolinas for many, many years. And it's right at 200 lawyers scattered across 8 offices in the Carolinas. So it's good size. You can find an attorney that if you have needs for whatever it might be, there's an attorney that can help out. Because it's a Carolinas-based practice, one of the best selling points, I'd like to think, is that there's not the overhead that you have to worry about, for example, in Washington, D.C. or Atlanta or Dubai or anywhere else in the world, is that you can have a billing rate. You know, lawyers are never cheap, but you can have a billing rate that is consistent perhaps with young companies, with companies that are trying to grow and get the same quality of work that you would otherwise get out of these big firms. A lot of good lawyers doing good work.
You do a lot of work with a lot of young companies, don't you?
I do.
Is that true across the scope of Nexen Pruitt?
You know, the young company entrepreneur market in South Carolina is not as developed as North Carolina. My background is unique in that I've had a chance to sit on multiple sides of the table with the startup. I've had a stint as an operator, which was great. It was an MBA and a few months when the world was on fire about a dozen years ago. Been involved with a small venture fund in this area. Capital is always an issue. But I've also, through the years, I've also had a chance to represent young companies. And what I found with Nexen Pruitt is that there is the ability to identify needs that you have in different locations. For example, we have a great group of employment lawyers in our Charlotte office. We have kind of the godfather of economic development in North Carolina in our Raleigh office.
Wow.
Really kind of got the whole practice started in many respects. And I think sometimes young companies can't fully take advantage or are unaware of some tax incentives that may be available to them with the way that the law is currently written.
So are you suggesting that when somebody has the next big idea, they should talk to you before they really build it?
Yeah, the next big idea. That's big ideas comes in different shapes and sizes, right? If you have the next big idea, of course, my counsel would be is to come and talk to a lawyer, because there's lots of ways to have that big idea fritter away. Most folks are aware of the general idea of when speaking with somebody, you have to protect the conversation with a minimum, like, for example, a non-disclosure agreement and the
sure.
like. But for those that really truly have the next big idea and have aspirations to become the next Google or Twitter or whatnot, you really need to get it set up correctly on the front end. And this is, of course, you know, completely self-serving, but going to the attorneys in a box with some of these folks that you know, on the radio, that could fit a lot of different needs. But for those that really want to grow something special, I'm obviously biased that I think you get good counsel to set it up correctly on the front end. Very important.
So if you're just setting up a, I don't know, home cleaning business, you probably could go ahead with the sort of boxed approach, if you will. But personal consult and looking at all the different options is appropriate for somebody who's got a bigger idea.
Yeah, I think that I think you ought to have a conversation regardless, right? You know, the reason that you set up a corporate entity, one of the big reasons that you set it up is for liability protection.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if you're cleaning carpets or if you're doing what I'll call a lifestyle business, is you still want to protect your nest egg, however it might be. I mean, you might want to sell lemonade on a street corner for the rest of your life. It's okay. But there are some liability protection issues to think about. I mean, we're in an overregulated world. I'm not telling anything new here. And so as a result, just being aware of what the pitfalls might be is not a bad conversation. And then if you want to do your own thing on the dock front, then you can kind of assess some of these other options.
Mm-hmm. When I first set up my PR firm back in, I don't even want to say, 1993.
You're 4 years old?
I am. Mm-hmm, I was indeed okay. Four. My parents were thinking ahead. We started out, I believe, as a C Corp, and then we had to go and change it to an S Corp because a C Corp was just too much overhead and it was driving us crazy. We didn't have things like LLCs and the like at the time, and now there's LLPs, and then there was the new social. What's the social? Not an S-Corp. What is it?
Yeah, there's something called an L3C that's designed to have low income, that you can have both a philanthropic component as well as a for-profit component. So they're bridging that gap.
Very interesting. So how does somebody decide what's the right move for them?
Yeah.
Oh, they talk to a lawyer. Let me answer that
question for you. Good answer. Let me give you my phone number again. No, now I'm looking across the table here with my tax colleagues.
And you got to make sure you get and say the right thing here,
well,
right?
Well, interesting, and neighbors of mine, so grateful for the Grant Thornton folks for sure. The tax issues also drive these decisions. And so going back to your experience is C corporations can be inefficient from a tax standpoint depending on the type of entity that you'd like to be. So, for example, if you want to take over the universe, then a C corporation might be exactly right, because if you look for outside investors, there's certain boxes that they want to check mm-hmm. that will be consistent with a C corporation. For mom and pop shops, a lot of times tax efficiencies are very important to them, and so you can fit into one of these pass-through entities, S corporations, LLCs.
Interesting. So I think I have an idea that nobody's ever had before. How do I make sure that it stays my idea?
Well, there's lots of different ways to protect intellectual property. I just mentioned in passing one. If the idea is very nascent, you're just getting started, but you really think it's a great idea, I think the first and best thing to do is to surround yourself with the right people and mm-hmm. have those good people talk to also good people. Because there's a bunch of folks that aren't above taking a good idea and may have more resources, and off they run with it, and they didn't realize, right? But once it gets to a certain point, there are some things that I would recommend, or that I do recommend to clients that are important. Non-disclosure is one that ought to be a no-brainer. These are simple documents. And, you know, if you're dealing with honorable people, a lot of times that's sufficient to keep folks playing in the right sandbox. And then beyond that, when you get into growth, there are ways to protect intellectual property in the form of trademarks from a federal standpoint. For things that are novel, there's patent protection. That's a kind of a long and expensive process. But once you're through the process, you have some wonderful rights to kind of take your idea and have it have a really competitive advantage to your competitors. There are things, the best example used for trade secrets typically used is the Coke formula. I've been told, I don't know if this is true, maybe it's anecdotal at this point, but
there's... Well, those of us from Atlanta know that it's locked in a safe.
Yeah, right. That's what everybody hears. There's some safe with a Coke formula. And that has not been made public because it's a trade secret. And so if you protect your, or if you treat your information as a trade secret, it actually can have a lifetime or forever protection.
Interesting. So the companies get started, they're doing a lot, you know, they're bootstrapping, they're doing okay. They don't want to take that venture capital because they don't want to throw away 50% of their hard-earned work, or maybe 60% these days, depending on the venture capital. But they're kind of running out of money. So now what? Any ideas? I mean, is crowdsourcing a good idea? We're good for that in North Carolina now, right? I've lost track of where the law stands in terms of crowdsourcing.
Well, you're not alone. I'm not sure anybody knows where the law stands
okay.
right now.
Says the lawyer. That's scaring me.
Yeah, it should. There's a professor at NC State I work with that I think coined the valley of death, if I'm getting the terminology right, where the good ideas start. You have your money in your back pocket. It's your parents have, or it's your friends have. And then that goes for a little while. Then you've entered into the valley of death. You've got to have capital to get out of it. And so sources of capital come in fairly traditional formats. It's hard work, right, to attract capital. And as a general rule, people layer them. So that's the friends and family money once you've kind of done your garage in your back pocket. And then you kind of eventually fade into or ebb into angel money, where you have folks that are well-to-do that might know your industry. Those are the best ones that know your space and can open up doors for you. In those cases, the type of the structure that you're in is will dictate what the investor receives back. So, for example, if you're in an LLC, they get an equity back that may or may not have bells and whistles to it. When you reach a certain point of growth, you'll talk to the institutional guys, and you're right, the venture guys are great. It's the old, you know, it's the old scorpion story, right? Where was it the frog and a scorpion crossing the river? You know the story,
I guess,
right?
You guys all know this story. Everybody's shaking their head for me. I don't know this story.
All right.
I used to work with New Enterprise Associates, so, you know, I like those venture capital guys.
Well, and they're great. They're absolutely great. And the ones we have in this area are fabulous. They really are. You get some, you know, kind of red meat eating types outside this area. Anyway, the story, right, is the frog helps the scorpion across the river, and then they get to the other side. The scorpion stings the frog, and the frog says, "Why'd you do that?" And the scorpion says, "Well, you knew I was a scorpion when you picked me up."
Right? Yeah, right.
So in some respects, the venture guys are what they are. They provide capital to provide the rocket fuel to the idea to get it to a different level. They're shortening your time down.
Right.
And if you work with the right scorpions, the right venture capitalists, is that they turn out to be not scorpions. They turn out to be great partners. And if you have a good idea, you've run out of money, you've have some sales, you have a proven product, go talk to the venture folks. They might be able to help you out.
All right. I would like to help people figure out how to get in touch with you, Sam Witt. How do they do that?
Well, Nexon Pruitt, I'll spell it just because the name's a little bit unusual. N like Nancy, E-X-S-E-N. And Pruitt is P-R-U-E-T. So nexonpruitt.com. And then the Raleigh telephone number is pretty easy to remember, maybe 919-755-1800. That's the Raleigh
Excellent.
Office.
Great. Well, let's come back and talk for a minute about the North Carolina Technology Awards that NCTA is hosting next month. First of all, we got a big name change this year. Have all of you been involved with it when it was still the 21 Awards? And
yes.
Now we've got a big change. Yeah. What do you think? What do you think of the new name?
I think it's good. I think people will recognize NCTA 21, not everybody knew what it meant.
Yeah.
I think that was the reason for the change. Clearly, the North Carolina Tech Awards, people will recognize that and really understand what it means. So I think it'll be more beneficial to the recognition.
Easier brand.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll voice my agreement as well. You know, I've been around long enough where it was the North Carolina Electronics and Information Technology Association that eventually got honed down to the current NCETA, which was a good name change. I think they're
and you were four.
I was four at the time. That's right.
Oh, my goodness. So tell me about what being involved with the awards means to each of your organizations, if you would. What does VACO, why do you underwrite? You actually are a presenting sponsor, is that right?
We are.
Yeah. So why do you do that?
I think there's a couple of things. One, it's great to stay involved with people that you have done work with already. So it's a great way to continue to work with them. It's a place for us to build new relationships. And then a combination of their goals at NCETA from the technology, from a legislation standpoint, definitely supports, you know, where we need to be and for incentives, for anything. And so anything that's going to help us grow this area, I'm in support for.
Incentives, so. Huh? Wow. Ooh, we could go down that pike for a little while,
not
but
so
maybe
much
we
incentive.
Shouldn't.
Not so much incentives for recruiting companies, but in regards to, some of the tax laws, it just frees them up to have more funds available to invest in the companies,
that
are currently here.
Right. What about Nex and Pruitt? Why are you guys involved?
Well, put in a plug to my colleague, Sandy Sands, who's been around for a long time. And Sandy, as I recall, sits on the board of NCETA. There's a history there. When it was, before it changed its name to NCETA now, the organization was just getting started. And a predecessor firm to Nex and Pruitt was the Sanford Holzhauser Law Firm. And for those that have been around North Carolina a long time, it was Terry Sanford and Jim Holzhauser, a former Democratic and Republican governor. And Terry Sanford, actually, back when he was Uncle Terry at Duke, was one of the driving forces to get the Research Triangle Park started. And when IBM was landed in, I'll say, the 50s, it may have been the 60s, I don't know, that was a game-changing event for this area. And so in a similar fashion, back when it was Sanford Holzhauser, now Nex and Pruitt, is that the attorneys recognize the need to be forward-thinking and to embrace the changes that come oftentimes through technology. And so there was a period of time, believe it or not, where the office that consisted of, I think, two or three people of NCETA was in the floor right beneath where other lawyers were working because we wanted to give them a space to help them grow.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's really cool. What do you, so one of the things that's been announced are some of the award winners for the startups. We've been talking a lot about startups here. There's 10 really cool companies out there. I mean, I've been writing little articles about them that Exit Event's going to pick up so people can listen and watch for those. But really cool stuff. Is there one that just makes you go, oh, that's so cool? Is there one that you'd love to mention?
I'll mention, I think NetCerta has really put it together. I think in the past we've been great at startups, but not great at emerging growth companies.
Right.
So I think NetCerta is one that's gone out of startup and into emerging growth and really has a chance to do some big things.
Remind people what they do.
So I'm not going to accurately get it, but they are driving online advertising to motivate people to go into stores to purchase things.
That's cool. So. That's really cool, and especially the idea of someone who's not just got the idea, but they've got the idea and they've lived through some bumps and some pivots, and they're working to, I don't know that they've necessarily pivoted, but they're working really toward a goal several years in, right?
About absolutely.
I think
they was a Google partnership was about a year and a half ago, and I think that was a big stamp for validation for them, and they continue to grow. And so the more verticals they pick up, obviously they'll grow. So that's one that's it's really exciting.
That's really cool.
And it's interesting to even mention some of the IPOs up there. I mean, the life sciences business is continuing to grow here aggressively, which is great from
it's
the CRO's perspective. And we'll have a couple, hopefully, new headquarters here soon in that space.
In the clinical research organization industry. That's really cool.
And a similar company to NetCerta, Bronto Software, has been another company that's just been on a rapid growth. And, I mean, I think they're hiring 200 employees here, they've announced over the last couple months.
They expanded not just in Durham, but overseas as well, two offices overseas.
So it's just a great story,
both
of those companies.
So. Yeah, and Joe's a great leader. He tells a good story.
Right.
Driving around in his convertible with his Bronto, blow-up Bronto. That's pretty funny. What about you guys?
Well, I guess my comment would be is the impressive diversity of the companies. For those that have been around for a little while, the companies could be relatively easily pigeonholed in a few categories. I think that's very much changed. I think that we talked even before the show got started, right, a little bit about the competition throughout the country. And my impression is that I'll pick San Francisco just because that kind of seems to be at the top of the heap, or San Jose, is that it's not at this point some type of a scarlet letter or a bad sign if you have a startup that doesn't make it. And that was not the case in this area. I mean, people said, oh, my goodness, it didn't make it. You know, it was a bad thing. But that mindset is changing, which is a good thing, because you learn with every experience. You learn with failure more than you do with success. And so we're getting this nice stable of operators that can learn from past experiences and then be successful with the next one or the next one after that.
Yeah, it's cool.
And I agree with Sam. I think it's, as part of the team that gets to vote on these or make some recommendations, I think the diversity in the candidate pool this year was incredibly encouraging. It just really speaks to the success of the different types of companies. And as we mentioned on Bronto, even to see a company at that stage already looking internationally, it's one of the trends that we've seen where companies, even at the growth stage, are looking out to other markets to make their mark or to find a customer base or to import a product and bring it back home.
And it is interesting, I think, to see that different focuses are being put together by different organizations. We see a really big push for people to make Raleigh the center of the Internet of Things, right? We see a push for Wilmington to be sort of like the data world. We see a lot of end-user apps coming out of maybe the mountainside, maybe more IT in the Piedmont. It's really interesting to see different organizations pushing for different focuses,
And I'll piggyback that on that a little bit. I think that, we've seen a little bit of this year, and I think it'll grow with what NC State and a few other places are doing, is that I think we have a number of really impressive young companies that are working so hard right now, the ones that I know of, that they just don't have the time to kind of poke their head out of the sands to be recognized. But in the world of alternative energy and of being in the right place at the right time as the utilities are slowly moving out of their old, 1950s, is we have some really impressive young companies doing some neat things in that space.
That's very cool. Well, this is really fun, you guys. Thanks so much for supporting NCTA and the North Carolina Technology Awards. We look forward to seeing you there. And if people listening haven't gotten their tickets yet, you better hurry up. Starting to sell out. Just because we moved downtown to the convention center doesn't mean there are endless number of seats there. So everybody make sure you get your tickets soon. And I do want to thank all of our guests. Sid Michener from VACO. Thank you, Sid.
Thank you.
Dwayne Southern and Matt McCleary, both from Grant Thornton.
Thank you,
guys.
A pleasure.
And Sam Witt from Nex and Pruitt.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And back there behind the producer's desk, we got Reed Powell. Thanks, Reed, for all your work today.
No, it's a pleasure. Thanks.
Okay, and this is Anne Ravel-Petcher. Until next time on Metro Raleigh Business Radio.